Hi, everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. Guess who's back? We are back. We are so excited to be back. And a reminder that we're going to be at CrimeCon in May if you want to hang out with us in Nashville. It's going to be so fun. Use our code DATE and don't be afraid to come by yourself. Hang out. We'll look out for each other. It's going to be amazing. And also check out our Patreon and Supercast. We have a lot of fun stuff going on.
Yes, we do.
We have a book club. We have where we talk about TV things. So it's like a TV club.
We have traders. We have all sorts of stuff.
We've been talking about a Lifetime TV movie that was incredible, where there was inappropriate things for the podcast.
Join our Patreon to understand Kimberly's recapping a Lifetime movie, which is about the greatest thing you'll ever hear. And I'm still thinking about it.
It's so good. I had so much fun doing it. So check out our Patreon or our Supercast. And we are back with a doozy of an episode.
Yeah, we are.
This is the last minute Dateline episode because new news broke today. Well, not today, yesterday, on Friday. And then Dateline was like, other shows probably couldn't get it in a Friday episode, this breaking news. Like shows that have numbers in their title that are on other channels.
Oh.
But we at Dateline can get it in tonight's episode. And they did it once again. So this is called A Life Interrupted. And it is season 32, episode 30. It aired on March 1st, 2021st, 2024.
2021 sounded good.
Yeah. I'm getting so good with my numbers.
I like 2021. I don't know what it is, but I like that day.
And it is hosted by Dennis. So it is a Dennisode, as Lauren on Twitter.
Oh, that's calls good.
It. Yeah.
I'm stealing that, Lauren, from Twitter. Dennisode. Oh, I'm so happy to see his face.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, Dennis.
It always makes me happy. This is the case of Jennifer Dulos, which is a very famous case, which we've not done before because I was kind of keeping it in my back pocket.
Okay.
Because I knew there was stuff coming.
Okay.
And also, I don't know, I was just, procrastination sometimes works out in our favor.
I immediately looked it up because I didn't want to be the person this time. I've been the person a few times that doesn't remember that we've covered this case before. So I made sure and I gave it a bing to see what the other Jennifer Dulos cases were called under the Dateline banner. And it looks like it's only one, the disappearance of Jennifer.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I knew we hadn't covered that.
This is one of the most famous cases that we have never covered.
Yeah. But is there a defense attorney in this case that we've seen before?
I didn't recognize him.
I recognize a head of hair here that I might be confusing with someone else.
We have seen a gray-haired, ponied defense attorney on Dateline before. Thick pony.
I think this might be that guy.
It could be that guy.
Okay.
I'll check my notes. This takes place in New Canaan, Connecticut. I kept thinking of a song from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat about Canaan.
And the Canaanites? That's funny.
Wealthy, lavish estates set on meticulously landscaped grounds. I was praying Dennis would say a Tony enclave because it has been way too long since we've had a Tony enclave. And he came so close. He never said it.
If we ever opened up a restaurant chain, would we call it Tony Enclaves?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Great. Just want to make sure.
It would be Tony Enclave with snacks, with soft pretzels, like in parentheses. So we don't want to put people off and make them think it's too hoity-choity. You can get cheese fries at our establishment.
But what if it is snacks served in a hoity-toity way?
I think Lisa Vanderpump does that.
She does?
Yeah.
Will we do it better?
No.
Okay.
We can't do anything better than Lisa Vanderpump.
That's true. I don't even know why I asked that question. Yeah, let's move on. I don't know why I asked that.
The hubris.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Sorry, Lisa.
We right off the bat get a local NBC reporter, so mark it off your bingo cards. And she's walking us through the case. Basically, starts in 2019. Jennifer dropped the kids off at their exclusive school. We get it, Dennis. They're rich. Later, a neighbor's camera spots her Suburban driving away from her home. The nanny arrives. We get it, Dennis. They're rich. And sees that Jennifer's purse is there and her breakfast of tea and granola is untouched. We get it. They're rich.
Why does granola bar make you rich?
I feel like it was a fancy all-natural bar that cost like $8 at Whole Foods.
I think the problem is we are seeing the kitchen at this point. They're showing us the interior of the house, which you wouldn't know that there were five children living there at all.
It's cleaner than my house with no children.
Correct. It is cleaner than my house when my house is clean. Does that make sense? Like, if I've cleaned up, that house is cleaner.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, there was kind of stuff places. And I'm like, where?
Where? That pile of clothes? Are you kidding me? That's it? That's all you got? Police would not enter and say there's been a struggle here, which is what they would say at any moment in my house.
We don't know the Connecticut world.
No, I don't. It's...
No, we don't know it.
Jennifer never shows up that day to her doctor's appointment or to meet her kids with the nanny. Officers find her Suburban left in reverse by a park near her house. Very strange. I've done that. Also, I've left my car on and gotten out of my car many, many times.
Because your car is a silent killer. So how would you know?
It is. Everyone in the town is shocked. There's a lot of things like that don't happen around here.
I mean, I kind of believe that they do, though.
I think they do. If Dateline would tell us they do.
If there was going to be some sort of murder for insurance, that's the spot, right?
It becomes national news. It becomes a huge story.
Yeah.
Jennifer grew up privileged, but she was down to earth. Her friends tell us she liked French fries and Diet Coke. She's one of us.
Great.
We're meeting a lot of her friends. One calls her an intellectual version of Cindy Crawford. And I was picturing Cindy Crawford on a yacht with George Clooney in
Marrakesh?
Lake Como.
Oh, okay. A lake.
You know where they go? And she's watching going, I'm an intellectual. What are you talking about?
Cindy Crawford is bummed out because Cindy Crawford,
how
I think,
dare you?
Does actually have a degree.
She and her husband own hotels and things.
Multiple businesses. I think Cindy Crawford is a very smart woman.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So Jennifer went to Brown, very smart, and she met charming Fotis Doulos, who is from Turkey and grew up in Greece. He's an international man of mystery at Brown University. They just were friends in college. She spent her time after college writing plays. Eventually, they crossed paths years later at an airport, which I would imagine was kind of a meet-cute situation. A second meet-cute. A reunion-cute, if you will.
Was it a private airport?
Was it a private plane? Were they each getting on different private planes? Because that's what I imagine their life is like.
Yeah. I'm picturing some sort of flying scarf with a...
They weren't flying American to Crime Con.
They're not flying American to Crime Con.
Where the food was so disappointing.
At least you got food.
At least I got food.
Yeah.
They got married. They had five children, two sets of twins and a daughter. That's overwhelming to think about. The family, including the children, were athletic. The boys were national champion water skiers. We get it, Dennis. They're rich. Their water skiing coach was their dad.
Okay.
He was a builder of upscale homes.
All right.
They lived in a 6-bedroom, 7-bathroom home built by the dad.
What's it called?
It needs like a fancy name, like the something estate.
It's the, starts with an F. Farmhouse estate? What is it called?
Fotis Manor?
No. They refer to it as such.
Oh, Farmville? No, that's the game.
No, it's Farm. Oh, shoot. I should have written it down. It's the town that he is in. The town that kids grow up in, their first home.
I don't think that's the official name of the house. I think they just say like, oh, you know, the LA house or the San Francisco
they
house.
They refer to it multiple times as like the Farmwood Estate. The Farmwood Estate. Because it's clearly an estate. If it has a circle drive and a porte-cochere.
Yeah.
It's clearly 9 bedrooms, 14 bathrooms.
What was that word that you just used?
The porte-cochere where you drive your car through. So you can do, it's got the little awning where you
how
drive
do you spell
the, that? The car through and then you can unload your bags or whatever. You don't have to go into.
Your valet can unload.
Your valet
bags.
Can unload or your butler.
Yeah.
The staff.
Like the Murdochs.
Yeah.
Definitely their estate had a name.
This was, I think they called it Farmwood or whatever the name of that town was. I really wish I could remember it. Darn.
It's okay. The square footage on this home, 14,000.
Let's remind everyone how big your apartment is real quick. My guess is 550 square feet on a good day.
After it's done some yoga.
It's more bathrooms than there are bedrooms.
7 bathrooms.
How many square feet?
14,000.
14,000. They said 7 bathrooms?
7 bathrooms, 6 bedrooms. Which doesn't sound that crazy for that many people.
It doesn't.
But that means there's also many other rooms that are extra rooms besides a kitchen and a living room. There was probably a conservatory and a billiards room and a library.
It's all the rooms include. That means that every 200 square foot, there's a bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to put that in perspective.
If you have bladder problems, that's ideal. You never have to search far.
If they don't have secret passages in that house,
that's a waste.
That is a shame. Because if I ever had a house, I try to put it in every house. I've been trying to buy one of those bookshelf doors for 9 years. I've been trying to install those in apartments. I've been trying to teach myself how to build it. I want one so bad. If I could do it for every door, I would. And it makes no sense where I am.
What about a painting with holes behind the eyes so you can peer?
That's creepy peeping on your guests. No, I just want secret doors.
I didn't say in the bathroom or the guest room. Could be in the kitchen.
I want them to open onto really normal things. Like sometimes people have them for like, I don't know, a room where they have gun safes or like jewel safes.
Right. Or a terrifying one when I was just on These Are Their Stories, the Kevin and Rebecca's hilarious Law and Order podcast, and it was an SVU episode with a sliding bookcase that led to the grossest torture chamber.
Oh, God. Okay, no, not for that. I want it for like the laundry room.
Yeah, for something ordinary.
You're like, what? Why did you need that? I didn't. Yeah. That's not the point.
Drama.
Yeah.
Just for drama.
Drama.
Jennifer started a blog about her life as a mom. And if you read between the lines, things in the marriage started going south. They eventually separated and were getting divorced. Fotis was now dating a new woman, Michelle Traconis. And she is an international businesswoman working at an Argentinian ski resort. We get it. She's rich. She and her daughter move into Fotis's Tony estate. Briarcliff with Fotis.
Fotisville.
And Jennifer was raising the kids in another home 70 miles away. There's a huge vigil for Jennifer, and everyone is still hoping that they will find her alive. And Dennis says they think she's alive still.
Dennis.
With so much incredulity in his voice. And I was like, Dennis, he always does that.
Yeah.
He always goes in assuming they're dead. You can't do that, Dennis. I know you know, but you can't. You have to pretend.
He's done this a lot.
Yeah.
This is old hat for him.
The officers of the house aren't sure that Jennifer is alive. They found blood in her garage. Mm-mm. And we see the police on body cam footage discussing the blood. And one of them says, I mean, this isn't like you hit a deer, because if you hit a deer, you wash off the blood, especially in a Range Rover. We get it. They're rich.
He's not wrong, though, right?
I would assume. Or maybe you just have disposable Range Rovers. You can get all muddy and bloody.
We've seen more intense garages than that.
This was a normal two-car garage.
Two or three cars, maybe.
Yeah.
These were not car collecting people, I'm guessing.
No, where you like have an elevator that brings down the vet that you want to drive that day.
Okay, they're not gazillionaires. Who has that?
I don't know. Like Batman? I don't know.
That's like oil money. People with oil money that I'm not quite sure, absurd amounts of money have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you're Batman.
The Connecticut State Police take over the case. They think that Jennifer came home from dropping the kids off at school and she was attacked in the garage. There's blood spatter everywhere. It's even under the cars. And they see smeared blood like someone tried to clean up, but did not do a very good job. Gave up extremely quickly. The nanny noticed that 10 rolls of toilet paper are missing. That's just wasteful.
That bums me out.
10 rolls of toilet paper and you still left that much blood too? It sounds like someone who had gotten used to having a housekeeper clean up for them.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'll have the housekeeper finish this.
Somebody who didn't think about rags. They're just like, well, paper towels.
Yeah. And water. Probably water.
Right. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. There's 2 camping pillows missing from the garage. White camping pillows. Now, as someone who just went camping on her vacation, I have to say only the fanciest people would ever have white outdoor pillows. Much like Andrea Canning, mother of 6, who wears white pants and somehow doesn't get stains on them. I don't understand the white camping pillows.
They were white?
Yes.
Okay.
Outdoor white pillows.
Camper pillows, maybe.
And
pillows
5 children.
That went in a camper. Yeah, I don't know.
I have stains on everything I wear.
It's a different world. It's Connecticut.
It is.
This is Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
You're not welcome there.
Mm-mm. There's also in the garage a big pillow or something that's shaped like a giant smiling poop emoji, rainbow colored, and it's super cute, but seems very out of place in crime scene photos.
Oh, somebody really wanted that. One of those kids really wanted that one and they got it. That's cute. But they're keeping it in the garage for obvious reasons because we see the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Police talk to Fotis, and he gives them his phone. He seems willing to cooperate. On the day that Jennifer disappeared, he was at home, at his home, 70 miles away. He even answered a call from overseas, or at least his phone did. And his girlfriend, Michelle, who lives at that old home, says that he was there, again, 70 miles away.
Farmington.
There we go, Farmington.
The Farmington estate. All right.
At 7 o'clock that night that Jennifer disappeared, his phone drove to Hartford. Police find a bunch of video footage, and we're seeing the state police command center. And Dateline is always telling us, like, be patient. Real life isn't like CSI, and you can't solve things this quickly. And they're, you know, it looked full on like the show FBI. The guy has a map, and he has video footage on like 10 different screens, and they're touch screens, and he's moving around things with his fingers swiping.
Minority Report, full.
I would guess he is triangulating.
There we go.
At some point.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Now, I watch Chicago PD lately, yes. And they have a whiteboard, and they tape up a piece of paper on it. That's all they have.
Chicago versus Connecticut.
Exactly. I think at one point they did get like a fancy board, and they were like, that's not, we're old school. That's not how we do it here in Chicago. The cameras find Fotis in his Ford Raptor. There are so many cars in this episode.
At one point, I just wrote cars in all caps, exclamation point, exclamation point. There's a few you need to remember.
For someone that has car blindness,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Hashtag find a cure. I was utterly confused. So he is driving around town dumping trash in public trash bins.
In Hartford, which is the capital, which I don't know how far away that is. They don't tell us how far Hartford is.
But it's not in his part of town. And he, at one point, is seen dropping something in a storm drain, which is not suspicious at all. Best case scenario, you're a polluter. Worst case scenario, you're a murderer.
Ooh.
The investigators use something that the investigator calls a suck truck, which is a great nickname for someone that you don't like.
Don't use that in public.
I'm totally going to get new
merch.
No,
don't do that. That sounds
don't be a suck
derogatory.
Truck.
Okay.
They use this suck truck and they suck stuff out of the storm drain, and they come up with a FedEx envelope with two license plates in it, which is where I learned that Connecticut is the Constitution state. And also, the license plates have been altered with blue tape, so like the 1 becomes a T and the J becomes a U, etc. Pretty sneaky, sis.
You couldn't do better than that? The blue tape?
Yeah. Can you use paint at least?
That's what I thought. You couldn't get yourself to...
Go to Michael's and get some matching blue paint.
Right. Oh my gosh. Sorry. So it looks like Farmington is right outside Hartford. So it's like a town outside. It's right there. They're together on the map.
There are public trash bins in...
Farmington.
Farmingville. And why is a rich man in a 14,000 square foot home using public trash bins? How many trash bins are you assigned by the city when your home is 14,000 square feet?
Sir... Also, that is a property. So we know how big the house is, but how big is the property? I'm guessing it's several acres at least.
Yeah.
You can't go burn some trash?
Right. I'm sure he has like one of those big dump things, like a dumpster.
I'm sure he does. There are better ways to do this than... I just can't imagine you wouldn't think that there are cameras.
Right. This is so suspicious.
Yeah. If the town has enough money to have the Minority Report board, they have enough money to have cameras everywhere in the town.
Exactly.
For surveillance. So
the original license plate belongs to one of Fotis's cars, because he has multiple cars. In the trash, so they find the trash that he dumped, they find Jennifer's shirt and bra, and in the garbage they also find a bunch of food wrappers. They find an empty Subway wrapper, Eat Fresh, but also Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, and like a Chinese takeout container. So see, even though they're rich, they're just like us.
Yeah, did someone tell you they weren't?
Sometimes I wonder, except Us Magazine is like, they're just like us. And I'm like, no, they're not. Like Paris Hilton, I don't think she knows what an Oreo is.
Paris Hilton's not a rich person. Paris Hilton is a celebrity, as well as being a wealthy person. So these people are not famous. So
right.
I think it's much more like... Every Thursday we get Subway instead of celebrities, which are, I can't go to Taco Bell because I'm going to get accosted.
Right. And I'll get photographed shoving a chalupa in my mouth.
I can't with Pabst. I'm not big on that. All right. Go ahead.
So basically, I eat exactly the same as a rich person. At least I did until I discovered Factor.
Ooh.
Never fear, Factor has you covered. Do you see what I did there?
Yes.
Factor has you set with ready-to-eat meals. I am obsessed with Factor lately. They are fresh meals, restaurant-quality meals that you heat up in 2 minutes. And again, they're fresh and never frozen. I recently took a bunch of mine down to my parents' house because I need them with me at all times now.
Oh, yeah.
I shared the health shots with my family. I got my aunt to do her first health shot ever. And they're so delicious. And I've never had a health shot that was like that. I've only tried like 3 health shots, but these were like, they're like juice. Like I could just drink them. They're so good. My sister-in-law, she was eyeing one of the meals, the lunches. So I let her have it. And she texted me immediately when she ate it saying how good it was. But the rest I kept for myself because they're so good.
They're really good. Oliver also stole a bunch of mine, by the way.
They're so good. Yeah. Also, my brother and his wife spend every Sunday, all Sunday, food planning, shopping, and meal prepping every Sunday. Just buy Factor for the week. What are you doing with your lives?
Done.
I have not tried a single meal that I haven't loved. My favorite is probably the roasted tomato and feta pasta, which, again, freshly made. It's like the elevated version of the cheapo frozen dinners that I buy at the grocery store. These are like fresher, better for me, and taste better.
I feel like it's an insult to compare it almost because they're that much better.
It almost is. It's not even in the same family. Yeah.
It's so good.
Factor is also flexible. You can choose how many meals you get, when you want to start and stop. Also, again, no prep. And I am so lazy in the kitchen. Microwave, done. And it's, again, fresh. It's good for you. It's also less expensive than takeout. Every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Head to factormeals.com/datedateline50 and use code datedateline50 to get 50% off.
Woo!
That's code datedateline50 at factormeals.com/datedateline50 to get 50% off. Factor will take your meals to a factor of delicious.
Ooh.
Math.
It's an easy thing to factor into your everyday eating.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Factor, for making an incredible product.
So good.
Delicious.
Katie, your cats also deserve to eat delicious foods all the time.
Thank you. They really do.
Because they're precious babies.
Yes. My cats also actually squabble over our next sponsor, which is Smalls. Oh. They kind of go for it. It's sort of funny. We have to feed them in a certain order or else it's pandemonium. And I thought for a minute we were going to have to separate them into separate rooms. It got that serious for a while. Yeah, thanks for that, Smalls. But seriously, Smalls is the best. If you are a listener of this show, you know that my cats cannot live without their Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find right in your own fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. So get your cat off the kibble and eating healthier with Smalls. Making the switch to Smalls was so much easier than I anticipated because I have some very adorable yet very finicky kitties. We are definitely guilty of feeding our cats said burnt kibble or sometimes sprinkling it on top of wet food to get them to eat their wet food without crying for kibble. But we didn't need to do that with Smalls, which is shocking. That tells you how good the food is. They love the smooth bird. They love the ground other bird. By the way, that's chicken and turkey. They also love the fish varieties Smalls has. Smalls has variety for cats who need variety. And if you have multiple cats, you know what I'm talking about. You can't feed them 10 days of turkey. They won't do it. By day 8, it's mutiny. You can't be doing that. You got to be switching it up every once in a while. And it's not just me. After making the switch to Smalls, 90% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a huge percentage. The team at Smalls is so confident that your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. Incredible. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food.
Oh.
If my cats will eat it, your cats will eat it. It's 2024. Are you still feeding your cat kibble? Get them off the chips. Head to smalls.com/datedateline and use promo code datedateline at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That is the best offer you're going to find, but you have to use our code datedateline for 50% off your first order. That's 50% off your first order, smalls.com/datedateline, plus free shipping. My kitties are living big with Smalls. That is a Kimberly tagline. I'm giving her full credit on that because that was very well done, Kimber. Good job.
And I just came up with it off the top of my head.
It's very good. Thank you so much, Smalls, for making my cats happy and healthy.
Oh. So back to the trash.
Excuse you.
In the
take it back.
I'm not calling you trash. Call it back to the trash that Fotis was dropping off around the city. They find bloody zip ties, black gloves, and a razor blade. At that point, I was like, the rich people's trash does differ from my trash.
And also, we should be clear. They show us her shirt and her bra that they find. They are soaked in blood.
Soaked in blood.
There's so much blood on those items. So then you're finding also zip ties, also razor. You're done. That's it.
Also, there's a red mop that the nanny or the housekeeper had said was missing from the garage, and it is bent into three parts. It is thrice bent. I did not understand. Unless it was a foldable mop, which I'm sure they make for van life, I will probably get one. But this appeared to be just like bent in three parts. It was very strange. Jennifer's DNA is all over these items.
Yeah.
So investigators find out that Fotis had cheated with Michelle. Shocker. But not really.
No.
That's why Jennifer left him. And she left very secretly and quickly. And she even hired a security guard to help her leave with the kids, which is the sign of a great marriage. When she left with the kids, Fotis called 911 to say, I don't know where my wife and kids are. Well, that house is 14,000 square feet, so maybe they're just in another wing.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You could have so many Froggers in that house and you would never know.
I could also not tell if the 911 operator was annoyed.
I think she was a little annoyed. She's like, so they left. And he's like, there's furniture gone. And she's like, so she left you, honey. Okay.
But also, if you're a 911 operator, are you getting a satellite image of where the person is calling from?
You know that it's the Tawny Enclave.
Correct.
Tony Enclave.
I mean, she might as well have said, are you calling from Farmington Estate?
Yeah. Are you at Briarcliff? Sorry. I think that's the name of the psychiatric institute in American Horror Story.
But it also definitely sounds like a fancy
Everything
estate.
Everything was terrible.
Are you at Weddington? Yeah. All sounds like that.
So the next day, Jennifer files for divorce, and the divorce turns into War of the Roses.
Yeah.
And she said she was scared of him. And he had even talked about sickening revenge fantasies. And it is terrifying because we all know the most dangerous time for a woman is when she's trying to leave.
And it might be extra dangerous if that man has unbelievable resources.
Yes. So Dennis asks Jennifer's friend, did he literally frighten her? And I don't know why that was funny. Literally, Dennis.
Yes, Dennis.
He literally frightened her.
Yeah.
2 years pass with Jennifer missing. Investigators think Michelle is in the car with Fotis as he's dumping the trash that day. Because you can see on the video a woman in the passenger seat and she reaches out and either places something on the ground or picks something up from the ground. I rewound multiple times, but my TV is 15 years old and I don't have the command center that can triangulate like the State Department does.
And I'm watching on a very small screen. So
and you're watching on your cell phone.
I have no idea. I was trying to zoom in on some labels later in this episode and it was really hard for me.
No, we are not equipped to triangulate data.
No, we're not.
Data.
It looked like my gut instinct was putting something out, not picking something up. Not like, oh, I dropped a Jolly Rancher and I gotta get that
back. It looks like there was something dark there after her hand was there. Like she did put something there.
Well, that sounds like a Katie move. That sounds like you're dumping out your old energy drink that's been in your car for 3 weeks because you brought a new one in and there's no room in the cup holders because you have four other half-drunk old energy drinks in the car.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't look like liquid. It looked like something solid.
But that's what the dark would be. How small a spot was it?
It was very small.
It could have just been a shadow then.
For me, it's unclear. Her hand reaches out. She's reaching for something so close you can almost taste it.
Yeah, you're getting deep with it.
Feel the rain on your skin.
Mm-hmm. No one else can feel it for you. So
Only you can let Folos in, but don't.
Yeah, please don't.
We jump forward 2 years to say that they're still investigating, and then we jump back. It was very confusing.
Why are we 2 years? The evidence that we're seeing...
It's shocking.
It's a razor, zip ties.
Yeah.
The shirt is so bloody.
Yeah.
You have the video of him in the weird license plate car going and dropping this stuff. All of that is done deal quickly, right?
Well, they do arrest them 8 days after she goes missing, both Fotis and Michelle. They arrest them for hindering prosecution and tampering with evidence. And it's a media frenzy when they appear in court. Michelle is hanging her head down low, and the local reporter says she does not want to be seen on camera. She's like, no doy. It's not the front row at the Versace show. And Dennis just said she's been wearing those clothes for 2 days. But she still oozes wealth. Her hair, her clothes, everything about her oozes wealth.
We'll get to it in Fashion Police.
She's released with an ankle bracelet on a $500,000 bond with a beautiful blue sweater hiding her face from the camera crew. You could still see her red nails. Her mani looks great. Richie Rich Fotis can't afford his bond, though, so he's stuck in jail. Turns out he does not have the money that he was pretending to have.
They never do.
They never do. But also, I would love to be this kind of broke. It's like my assets are all tied up in 14,000 square foot properties kind of broke. It's not the I might have to live in one of my cars tomorrow broke.
But it is scarier. I was actually just talking to Oliver about this. I don't know what I was watching, or we were talking about something that it felt like, wouldn't it be great to have that kind of money where that would just be fine to do all these things? But at the same time, when people are that rich, they don't build a house with a bunch of secret compartments and put slides in and do like stuff that you think you would do if you have money. Instead, it's like they're always worried about not having it.
Yes, that's true. When it becomes that important to you. Yes.
And I feel like for him, it's all tied up in image because he's a very forward facing of his company building homes. But you're putting so much risk into that. So you are at the whim and whimsy of the housing market at the same time. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's a lot of risk involved in that. Yeah, you have a lot of money, but then you have to do other investments of properties. So you could lose it all. You do one bad investment and bye-bye. Bye-bye Weddington or whatever it's called, Farmington.
He's going to be fine. He has a Range Rover that he could sell, and it would be enough to rent an apartment.
For 1 month in Connecticut.
I'm not worried about him.
I'm not worried either. I think I'm just saying...
More money, more problems. And
there you go.
If you're Scrooge McDuck diving into gold, it can be stressful on a different level.
Yeah, so I'm saying you don't want it.
He is broke. And it turns out he also is being sued by Jennifer's mom because she had loaned him $2 million for his business and he hadn't paid her back.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so he's in it. Investigators try to get Michelle to talk and basically flip on him. She tells them, I was at home the day Jennifer disappeared. Me and Fotis took a shower together that morning. And I thought it was going to get way more sensual. And I was uncomfortable for Dennis because he always gets these kind of episodes. But thankfully, it stopped at the shower.
Yeah, it's Connecticut. That shower is 3 times the size of your bathroom.
Yeah, no, they're not even seeing each other in that shower. There are wings of that shower.
Yeah.
So they took a shower together. Then Fotis's lawyer showed up at the house for a meeting. So she's providing Fotis with an alibi for that morning. They show her photos of her and Fotis dumping things out that evening, the trash bags. And she says, yes, that's her. And she was throwing out some gum. So she's a litter bug.
That's terrible. Why would you admit to that?
Why are you littering also in Connecticut? It's beautiful there.
Gum?
Don't do that.
Gum is the worst thing to litter because you can't pick it up. It's not like
it's there forever.
Oh, I put out a Coke can. A Coke can, someone's going to come by and nab it.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't do that at all, but gum is bad, right?
No, that Native American is crying over that piece of gum, and so am I.
Yes, he is.
She has no idea why they were in that part of town, why he was stopping at random public trash cans and sewer drainage systems and dumping things in them. Get yourself a side piece that doesn't ask questions. That's the dream. She is too busy littering to ask any questions.
Yeah, apparently.
There's also footage of a different man going...
Wait, stop.
Yeah.
She said it was gum. This is 8 days after. I bet if they went to that exact spot, that gum is still there. Go get that gum. Go check to see if that was gum. Check the DNA.
Also, that proves without a shadow of a doubt that it was him that dumped that stuff.
Yeah, get the gum.
There's also footage of a man taking a bloody pillow out of a trash can. And they never recover the pillow, and they don't find out who that man is. There's no follow-up on this story, but that's a real broke person. Like, Fotis is fine. This man is so broke that he's taking a bloody pillow out of a trash can.
I don't think so. I think it's more like he took it out and was like, oh, God, no, put it back in. Did he put it back in?
No, that's why they didn't recover it. He took it with him.
How did they know there was blood on it? Because, Kimberly, I couldn't see diddly squat.
You're on your phone. They have the command center.
No, could you see blood on the pillow?
No.
Thank you.
But again, my TV's 15 years old. Join our Patreon.
If you have a really good TV, could you see blood on the pillow? Would you write in?
Yeah.
Because I was really looking. I was like, how can... I didn't understand how they could see it on grainy surveillance.
Right.
It's not the level of TV. Well, again, they're in Minority Report.
Yeah. Exactly. They can probably pick up DNA samples through the screen.
It is. It's probably one of those things where, you know, they say, you can't do that thing where you enlarge and zoom, enlarge and zoom. You know where you can? This police station. Yeah. They're the ones
I think you
that.
Can now on with 5K. I think people can do that now, right? Isn't that the thing with 5K? I don't know what 5K is.
It sounded good, though. Let's just...
They tell Michelle all the stuff that Fotis dropped. We found it, and it all belonged to Jennifer with blood. And she acts very upset and very surprised, like she had no idea, which is what happens when you don't ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, we find out more about her, is also very privileged. Her dad is a cardiac surgeon. She's a world traveler. Let's rank her jobs in terms of what is the most hoity-toity. She was a PR person for a polo club in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
I think that actually might win. She also taught therapeutic horseback riding around the world.
No, that one.
That's kind of nice, though.
Oh, no, it's got to be that one. Therapeutic horseback riding?
She was an on-air reporter for ESPN in South America. She had a 12-year-old daughter with an Argentinian Olympic skier.
If it had been an ex-Olympian skier, now diplomat.
Okay, yeah, then it would win.
That would be a... But that's not... Well, that is a job. Being a mom's a job.
She fell for Fotis water skiing at a private ski club in Miami.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing normal in this woman's repertoire.
I've never done any of those things.
I didn't know there were private ski clubs. After Jennifer found out about Michelle and filed for divorce, Michelle and the daughter moved in with Fotis. But she tells police it was a nightmare. Now, bear in mind what her life has been like, that she would think this is a nightmare. A nightmare for her is like finding out your private chef hasn't been using organic truffle oil. Isn't feeding you factor meals. It's feeding you knockoff meals.
Yeah, there you go. Or like you have hard water and you can't get rid of it.
Right, that's a nightmare.
And so you have to do this whole filtration system that is installed later because your hair is just not cooperating in the water that you have at Farmington Estate.
That's difficult.
It's not.
It's a nightmare, Kate.
Okay, sorry.
Michelle wasn't allowed to be in the house when Fotis's children were there, so she would fly back to Miami every week.
Okay, yeah, that's annoying. I mean, it's annoying.
It's annoying. You're flying first class, I'm assuming. You're going to Miami. You're not going to, like, a war-torn country.
First class?
She's rich.
Private.
Miami is also a suck truck. Let's be real. Flying to Miami every week doesn't sound great.
No.
A few days after the police first talked to Michelle, investigators bring her back and they say, we know you're lying. Did you really see Fotis at the house that morning? She says the most confusing thing ever, which is, I thought I did, but now that you say he wasn't there, I think I didn't see him.
Girl.
Did you take a shower with him? I thought I did.
No.
But
oh my God.
Maybe I didn't.
Nope.
Did you see him have the meeting with the lawyer? I know I saw the lawyer, but I don't know if he was there. I'm thinking he wasn't there. Fotis wasn't there.
Why was the lawyer there then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then they show her this handwritten timeline that they found at the house. There are two of them. And one is written by her and one is written by Fotis. And they are like hour by hour timeline of the day that Jennifer went murdered, which is exactly the sort of thing you would want to keep if you killed someone.
Why didn't you throw that in the trash?
You memorize it and then eat it.
Yeah, eat it or flush it.
Come on.
Oh my God.
it says like woke up at 6:40, took shower together, dressed in lucky jeans. I think he was wearing the lucky jeans and had coffee and cereal spelled like a serial killer. But he's not a native English speaker, so it's okay.
And how many days did he have these for? Like, did he have them for all time? Like the...
No, I think just the day that she went missing.
Okay. That was my question on this. Really?
Yeah. And so one is in Michelle's handwriting and she says he made her write it. And it says she wore black leggings and black Adidas. She made juice and scrambled eggs for her daughter. And then she later cooked herself an omelet, just a lot of protein, protein heavy. And she probably fired her chef because of the truffle oil thing. So she has to do Absolutely. The cooking. Mm-hmm. And then it says saw Hutch and secretary. And I thought, of course, you know someone named Hutch.
Of course you do. Yeah.
Who has a secretary.
Yeah. What does Hutch do? He's an accountant.
Yeah. Or some sort of
Some lawyer. Sort of money manager or lawyer.
Money manager. Yeah. Finance. He told her, write all this down so you don't forget. And she didn't find that weird. Find yourself a side piece that doesn't ask questions.
She's not a side piece. She's the actual girlfriend. Remember.
Sorry, she was a side piece. Now she's the main piece.
Yeah, she is the one now.
Yeah. So on the timelines, it doesn't mention that they drove to Hartford to dump trash and litter gum.
But it does say other things during that time. It's like shopped at
Correct.
This place. I saw little things.
Yeah. So Michelle starts crying to the investigators. I didn't do anything. I'll give you whatever you want. I didn't do it. They're not sure how they feel about her. She shows them around Fotis's Tony enclave and they don't find anything there. But at Jennifer's house where they think she was attacked, they do find his DNA mixed with her blood in the faucet.
Oh my.
Oh my.
That's bad.
That pesky DNA, as Keith Morrison would
say. But mixed with the blood. That's like as bad as it gets.
And Dennis says to the investigator, is that in itself incriminating?
He has to ask the questions.
Yes, it is incriminating, you lay off. Dennis.
Yes, he has to ask the questions.
I love him
so much.
He's
moving the action.
Yeah, I know, I know. So Fotis's lawyer, Norm Pattis?
Yeah.
Who he has the thick gray ponytail that we discussed earlier and statement glasses.
We've seen him. I know that pony.
I'm picturing a different guy with a gray pony.
Am I picturing that same guy?
Maybe. My guy's a little bald on top.
No, I'm picturing this guy, the full pirate pony.
No, because I'm picturing a guy who had an earring also. There was a hoop earring pirate type lawyer. And that was definitely a different
Can
guy.
We search for Pattis in your notes?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Although I don't always write down their names.
I feel like you would if they had a ponytail. That's why I'm thinking you might have written down the name.
Also, our listeners, they are geniuses. They'll figure it out. They are triangulating the data as we speak.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
He says, you know, Fotis is just the obvious suspect here.
Yeah.
Yes. That. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. And he says, maybe Jennifer wasn't even murdered. So he points to an unpublished Gone Girl type novel. Basically, he implies Jennifer ripped off the plot of Gone Girl, which is insulting to a writer on a whole nother level. And then Dennis spoils the plot of Gone Girl to everyone watching Dateline.
He does give a little bit of a warning.
He says, spoiler alert. And then he spoils the whole thing. I was screaming because Dennis... Do you know how many times Katie has had to edit out us spoiling the plot of Gone Girl because we're very protective of the plot of Gone Girl not being spoiled on this podcast?
I think there's an age, and I think it's now we are at the time where if you haven't seen it, it's on you.
Yeah. It's like if someone's like, what happens after the end of Romeo and Juliet?
Right.
You've had enough time.
You've had enough time. That scheme is like part of the zeitgeist. It's people use it as an example of things.
Yes.
You have to at least have some sort of idea that things are not as they seem.
This pisses off Jennifer's family. Obviously, they say none of this is true. She would never leave her family, her kids. You know, something terrible happened.
And also, she's terrible. The woman in Gone Girl is awful human. So.
Yes, in Gone Girl. Yes. Fotis finally gets out on bond and he sits down with Dennis in his house that looks like a boring museum that no children have ever stepped foot in.
He has some sort of a settee or a love seat that's
Yes. like a tuft settee that looks so uncomfortable to sit on.
Those are not comfortable. The only reason you're getting them is because they're an antique. I have a story, my one like celebrity story about Jack Nicholson. It involves a piece of furniture like that. That's super uncomfortable and ridiculous. And his comment was, well, it was good enough for Napoleon.
Jack.
That's the only reason you have something like that, is because people will be able to say, oh, that's a something, something century. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Nobody sits on it.
Mm-hmm. It's a Larkinfluten.
It's a Larkinfluten from 16 BC. I'm just kidding. It's not that old.
Mm-hmm.
From mm-hmm. the 16th century. We had it flown over from Berlin. And then people that know. So it's more just an impressive thing when people walk in. But unfortunately, they've decided to prominently feature it in this interview. So we're going to make fun of it. Also, he's quite handsome.
He's a good looking man, unfortunately. Yeah. He is also wearing skinny jeans that cover his ankle monitor, but because they're skinny jeans, we can still see the bulge. And I felt like a better choice to distract the eye from the ankle monitor would be some Bombas, their spring collection of socks.
You leave Bombas out of this.
Anyone besides Fotis, that you can cover your ankle monitor with these really cute frill quarter socks, or you could show off your ankle monitor as the new fashion accessory amongst the rich and the pretending to be rich in this episode with their garden party ankle socks in florals and stripes, much like the stripes you'll eventually be wearing when your case goes to trial.
But if anything screams Connecticut, it's garden party.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the garden party set in my cart. I would like to be a part of Connecticut, even though I'm not in it, and I want garden party socks.
I'm obsessed with New England, so I also will be getting the garden party socks.
Agreed.
Also, the weather is super confusing here in LA in the spring. Sometimes it is 85 degrees here, and then the next day it's raining and it's LA and we're very confused. So Bombas uses merino wool sock in their socks, which it wicks away moisture and it can protect you in the rain and the sweat. Whatever is going on in the spring, Bombas has you covered. Spring is the time to refresh your life and your closet, and Bombas is the way to do that. And they put such detail and care into all of their items, like foot-hugging, honeycombed arch support, anti-blister, cushiony, pillowy footbeds. I'm wearing an entire Bombas outfit. 4 out of 5 of the things I'm wearing right now are Bombas. I have my favorite teal t-shirt that is tagless and so soft. My unmentionables that I will mention proudly because they fit so perfectly.
There you
and
go.
My Pride themes ankle socks that I'm still wearing, and they have held up so well, even though they're the only socks I wear right now. And they still look pristine.
The first ones I ever bought, I'm wearing right now, actually. Nostalgia. They're just the classic calf.
I love it.
And they're still here. And it was years ago.
Uh-huh. Also, if you haven't been paying attention, you might have missed us talking about how much we love Bombas's 100% happiness guarantee. And we love their mission. For every pair of socks, t-shirts, or underwear you buy, they donate an item. And so far, they've donated over 100 million clothing items to people in need. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com, bombas.com/datedateline and use code DATEDATELINE at checkout.
Bombas, 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 Bombas.
Be your own Bombas.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute because their little insignia is a bee.
It's perfect.
I love that.
We love you, Bombas. Thank you so much for supporting our podcast.
I support everything Bombas does.
I know. Katie, something about Michelle oozing wealth comes from her hair, I think.
It's no joke. I wrote down Connecticut hair.
It's so smooth all the time.
It's not just her, too. It's like Connecticut has perfected the art of the low light. A blonde with a dark undertone. That's not nature.
Mm-mm.
What that is a very good colorist and very good hair care. And I know where to get at least one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pros. I have spent a small fortune trying to find the perfect combination of shampoo, conditioner, and styling products that will give me the shiny, strong strands that I long for. I'm so happy that the search is over. The answer is custom hair care made for me by the good people at
pros. We all know your hair and skin can sway your mood and impact your days in ways that you cannot underestimate.
That is so true.
It really is. A bad hair or face day,
it's a downer.
It can be a bummer. I'd never found beauty products like this that really understood my needs, the needs for my hair. Pros is made for people, not just hair and skin types. It's made for all people. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. From millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely yours or mine. Mine would be very different than Kimberly's because she has decided not to destroy her hair like I have. Kimberly's much closer to Connecticut hair. Take my custom shampoo, conditioner, pre-shampoo from Pros. They have been able to make my hair more manageable, shiny, and hydrated. They just deliver. And Pros isn't just better for you and your hair. It's better also for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. They even have a review and refine tool, which learns from my feedback and lets me adjust my formula to keep up with the seasons and the changing seasons of my life. And hair colors, which my hair color can now, we've gone from like a neon peach into some sort of sunburst orange, moving away from a very bright red.
It's a journey.
So I'm keeping Pros on their toes.
You're keeping Pros on your toes.
Pros on their toes. But I'll tell you what, I've never had a formula that didn't work for exactly where my hair was at that moment in time. So thank you, Pros. And look, Pros is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order. Pros.com/datewithdateline, 50% off your first subscription order. So you'll get a free consultation and then you'll get 50% off at pros.com/datewithdateline. That's PROSE.com/datewithdateline. And you better get ready to strike a Prose.
Prose, 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 Prose.
Thank you so much, Prose.
Thank you, Prose.
Sorry I keep messing with my hair. I feel like I have to apologize to them at some point. It's
no,
ridiculous.
They can keep up with you. So Fotis tells Dennis that he thinks that Jennifer is alive. And Dennis once again says, against all evidence and common understanding, Dennis. Fotis explains they had two weddings, one in England and one in New York. He says he was a good dad because he's like a kid himself, one of those murderous kids like in The Omen. He says he and Jennifer just grew apart and he doesn't want to be disrespectful and talk badly about her. But Dennis keeps pushing.
Yeah, he does.
Until he says, well, I wanted it to be an amicable divorce, but she made it ugly. Let's not forget that she had to hire a security guard to help her leave you. That does not speak to an amicable divorce.
I think she probably also wanted an amicable divorce, but you both just wanted different things, hence not amicable.
Also, I don't think he was amicable.
No, also there's tons of money involved. It's never going to be amicable. It's just not. He made a lot of money, but she also comes from a lot of money, so it's messy.
Right. And speaking of the money that he borrowed from her mom, he says it was a gift, as $2 million always is, from your in-laws. He says, I had a beautiful life with Michelle. The only bad thing in my life was this divorce. You just told us what your motive was. Everything was going perfectly except for the divorce.
And the divorce was not over.
No. He says, if Jennifer's watching, he wants her to please come back. But she has her own mind and will do what she wants. He won't say much about the criminal charges. He says, those are my marching orders, with a sly smile. He's trying to be very charming. He's very smooth.
He is.
He's saying all the right things.
Kind of. Not really. I don't think he's likable.
No. Well, we see right through it. We watch Dateline. I think most of America saw right through it. After this interview, Fotis was arrested for Jennifer's murder.
There we go.
And they charged Michelle and Fotis's lawyer, Kent Mawinney, with conspiracy to commit murder.
I have a lot of questions about Kent.
Kent is a little afterthought in this story. But his story's not wrapped up
yet. But also big enough to charge him.
Fotis is captured on video driving another car, a red Toyota Tacoma, at 5 in the morning. And this was not on his schedule, his handwritten schedule.
Mm-mm.
Drive Toyota Tacoma. Also, this Toyota Tacoma is not his car. It belongs to an employee of his who says that he and Fotis swapped cars, which is not suspicious at all.
No, because...
to do the week of Jennifer's disappearance.
Because the Raptor was in the shop?
Right, or the Range Rover or the whatever.
DeLorean.
They find the DeLorean? What did you say? They find the truck, the Toyota Tacoma, on camera parked at the park where her car was found. He drove there at the park, but then how did he get to her house, which was 3 miles away? Did he jog there? But then an eagle-eyed detective sees a bike tire in the back of the Tacoma on one of the video cameras, and they realize he biked there. Then they search all the footage for a man on a bike, and they find a man on a bike in long clothing and a hoodie and a sweatshirt in all black in the hot time of the year that it was on a bike. So they think he biked to the house, waited in the garage, killed her, then spent 2 hours cleaning it up poorly because he's used to having a housekeeper. He put her body in her car, drove it to the park, then he put her body in the red truck and the trash bags of all the cleanup stuff. Now, it is kind of incredible, as Dennis points out, that this is in the middle of the day and no one saw him do this.
When did she drop the kids off?
8-ish or something.
Yeah, so it would have been...
it was morning. They haven't figured out exactly where or when he got rid of her body, but at some point he got rid of her body.
Did they have cameras at her house?
Not in the garage. Not out front. They had some neighbors' cameras.
Do we see the Tacoma pull up to her house?
No, the Tacoma went to the park and then he biked to her house. You can see her car driving away, but it's not her driving. They think she's in the back of that car and it's him driving.
What we don't find out is, was there evidence of blood in her car, her own blood? I don't remember. Inside the Suburban?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, there we go.
And on the sides of the car and underneath the car.
I have to say, I found it a little unbelievable that he did this himself.
By himself.
Yeah, this feels like something you would hire out.
Yeah.
If you're really rich.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not, though. He's pretending to be.
That's true. That's true.
But he could just give someone one of his cars.
Yeah.
As a trading.
The DeLorean.
Someone did it for a Schwinn once.
That was sad.
It was sad. There's also another car, a white Jeep, that is on camera footage from neighbors that is coming and going from Fotis's house to an investment property that he's trying to sell. And at one point, a neighbor's camera catches smoke coming out of the chimney at Fotis's house in the middle of the day that Jennifer goes missing. So they're still piecing all this together, but they think he did it. He wanted custody of his children, but more importantly, he was out of money. And the children come with money.
Yes. Yeah.
The children are going to inherit a lot of money. Fotis posts a $6 million bond. $6 million.
Wow.
I know you don't have to post the whole thing, but that's a lot of money. He is released again, but the house he put up for collateral was in foreclosure.
My God.
That's got to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
So they order for him to come back to court, but he doesn't show up. Police rush over to his house and they find him unconscious in the car. He used carbon monoxide to try to, you know.
Oof.
And they airlift him to an hospital, but he dies, which I had completely forgotten about.
I didn't know that. I was shocked. This is my first interaction with the case, though.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because you listen to a lot of true crime podcasts.
No, I know the name, but yeah, I don't. For some reason, this one has missed me. But also, I'm surprised all the way along. I have him pegged very wrong for some reason. It doesn't feel like to me like he would have done this crime. And he also doesn't feel like he would be a person that would do this either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hmm.
He left a letter saying he won't spend any more time in jail for something he didn't do. He also says Michelle and Kent had nothing to do with it, which the investigator points out, how would he know they had nothing to do with it unless he knew how it was done?
That's exactly. Would the better move here have been to say I did it by myself? They had nothing to do with it.
Maybe, but I think he's too vain to let people think that he did
it. Also, the kids.
Yeah, and the kids, even after he's gone.
If he cared about the kids.
Michelle tells investigators that she was driving the white Jeep that day. So she says she was taking cleaning supplies to the investment property that they were trying to sell. And then she drives to Fotis's house. And right after she goes there, the fire starts in the fireplace with the smoke coming out of the chimney. And it's Memorial Day weekend. So they think she was destroying evidence. Also, the red Toyota Tacoma was spotless, like it had been professionally cleaned.
Okay.
It's a construction vehicle, though, that belongs to his employee. It goes to construction sites. It's never been this clean. They find it on surveillance footage, driven by Fotis and being followed by Jennifer in yet another car.
They have so many cars, or access to so many cars. It's shocking.
They follow the security footage to a car wash where Jennifer and Fotis purchase a car detail for $250 and they pay in cash. And Dennis says, wow, because Dennis uses a coupon when he gets his car washed. I know it.
250 is no way. People do it, I guess, but...
Oh, yeah.
But once in a while, right?
Like, once in a while. And I'm sure Michelle had no questions to ask about why they were getting his employee's car detailed after borrowing it for $250.
Sure.
No questions asked.
What in the world?
Also pointing to Michelle. So she helped with the car detailing and she might have burned evidence in a fire. One of the dumped trash bags has Michelle's DNA on it.
Okay.
Bingo, as Joni would say.
There we go.
Michelle's trial started 7 weeks ago. This is where we're getting our update. Dennis sits down with a bunch of ladies who were friends with Jennifer, and they're all wearing black, and they're sitting in a circle with Dennis.
Yeah.
Thank goodness Dennis is also wearing black, but he's wearing a purple sweater, and it matches their purple ribbons, which is for intimate partner violence.
Aww.
And I was like, Dennis, but with a sweet, like, oh, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis. Yeah.
So nice. I don't know if that was on purpose, but it was amazing.
I guarantee you it was on purpose.
They're Jennifer's squad, and they showed up in court
for
Michelle's trial to support
good
and remember Jennifer.
Good.
The nanny, Lauren, takes the stand, and she is so good looking.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
And that just shows how confident Jennifer was, that she's like, I also know I'm hot, so I am confident enough to have this super hot nanny around my husband.
Yeah.
Also women supporting women.
Mm-hmm. She also was a great witness.
She was. And she's the one who noticed the paper towels that were all missing, I think. So she says wonderful things about Jennifer as a mom. She says the marriage started out fine when she was working there, but then it got very angry. And one day she heard them screaming. Jennifer ran into the room, terrified, closed the door, and Fotis tried to violently push the door open. And he looked so scary. But then when he saw that Lauren and the daughter were there, he suddenly was like, oh, it's up. We're just talking, you know, come on out, honey. It's fine. Like acted all nice, a sudden Jekyll and Hyde moment.
And Lauren is the nanny's name, right?
Yes. Terrifying.
Oh, that's bad.
Mm-mm. Watching that switch would have been very scary.
Mm-mm.
They call the employee who owns the red truck, the Toyota Tacoma.
Pavel. Mm-hmm.
He was given immunity. So, of course, the defense is going to question everything he says. He says that Fotis and Michelle, he saw them together that day at the investment property, and they seemed very shocked to see him there, like they were caught doing something odd. And Fotis said, oh, Michelle's just cleaning up the property because we're showing it. And he thought it was weird because he had never seen Michelle clean anything.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Also, he said that Michelle had been caught, overheard by him, saying very bad things about Jennifer.
Ooh.
One time, the children's dog was being put to sleep, and Michelle said about Jennifer, that bisque should be buried next to the dog. And guess when this was? It was a month before Jennifer disappeared.
But it was specifically because she was not going to allow the children to see the dog before it was put down.
We don't know the whole situation, though.
He gives a little bit of context. It's not just out of nowhere that Michelle said that. She said it because of something specific, but it's still really bad.
That's horrible. Michelle admits she had answered Fotis' phone that day. So remember, his alibi was his phone was at his house, and he'd even gotten an international phone call. She says she was the one that had answered the phone call that day. They think it was to give Fotis an alibi, that the whole phone call was planned so that it would look like he was at home.
100%.
Jennifer's classy, again, oozes wealth, but also kindness. Her mother takes the stand.
Mama New York.
Yeah, lovely. Like with just her outfit, everything about her was perfect. She says that Jennifer would never have left her children. She would never have missed their birthdays. And apparently the children were in the courtroom, but they're not shown on camera.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other side, we have Michelle's family. So her sister is crying outside the courthouse to the cameras and says, Michelle didn't do anything. She's completely innocent on this. So you have both families being very vocal about this. Michelle's defense attorney says she's totally innocent. She didn't know anything. The line about her burying Jennifer next to the dog was a joke that she made to try to cheer up Fotis, and it was taken out of context.
What's his name? Schoenhorn. Schoenhorn.
Schoenhorn?
No.
That you got to shoehorn that defense in because it's not fitting otherwise. That's a horrible joke to make. One of the investigators is caught on mic when they're first interviewing Jennifer.
Not the investigator.
I'm sorry. The head investigator.
Like the attorney, it's not the attorney general.
No, it's a guy from the state police, I thought.
But it's like the head person. It's not good.
They're interviewing Michelle, and she goes outside, and he says, I don't think she knows anything. So the defense says, look, they didn't even think she knew anything. But at what point in the investigation was that? That could have been well before they found all this evidence. They found her DNA on the bag.
Based on her outfit, I think it was the second interview.
I think it was fairly quickly after Jennifer disappeared. So as the investigation progressed, his mind changed, which is okay. I don't think that proved anything, but the defense makes it seem like a smoking gun. They only found 3 DNA cells of Michelle on those trash bags, as the defense points out. And Dennis says, but how did she not know what he was doing with the trash that day? The defense attorney says, I don't know. Your boyfriend takes you to Starbucks. You're in the car. You're on your phone. He's dumping stuff out of the truck. Whatever. You're not paying attention.
What?
Again, he has multiple properties, including a 14,000 square foot home. Yet he is driving around like a van lifer, borrowing public trash bins and sewer drains to dump things and making multiple stops. And you're not finding that weird?
Multiple stops. It's the multiples for me because it's not. So if Oliver and I go in Bebop, if we go out and about and look for things, right, and do a shop trip, we're going to multiple places. There's no time when they're not just dumping trash.
Right.
Or detailing cars. Are you also stopping at like the market? Are you also doing this? Are you going a bunch of places and then have a reason to be using that public trash can?
No. He's stopping on the side of the road to use a trash bin and then driving to another trash bin.
So yeah, then I think you would notice. It's not that you're going to Home Goods and you're going to put something in the trash out front.
She said, I didn't know why we were in that part of town even. I had never been there. So he said he's going to take her to this Starbucks. You know there's Starbucks that are closer, but he's taking her to this Starbucks.
This is a bad defense.
This is not good. And I know there was that one episode recently where people were charged if they didn't use the specialty trash bags, and people told me about that in their town, you get charged a ton of money and you have to use the specialty trash bags. So people do take their trash. If they go to Carl's Jr. or wherever, Jack in the Box, they dump their trash there to try to cheat the system.
Wow.
Again, I don't think that's what was happening here.
No, not at all.
And if it was, it would be something that happened regularly. And Michelle wouldn't have been like, why were we doing that? That was weird.
Right.
I should have asked more questions.
Right.
The defense calls a psychologist to the stand who says that Michelle was just confused about her timeline that day. She wasn't lying. She was confused because Fotis had her write that timeline out, but then the investigators were telling her something different and she just couldn't handle it. She just got confused. Now, memory is very tricky. I do understand that and we say that all the time. But this was right after Jennifer disappeared, so your timeline should be much more accurate.
It's really suspicious if you're writing down a timeline and you're sticking to that in your first interview and then coming back and totally changing
2 days later and saying, no, he wasn't in the shower.
And that's what happened here.
Yeah. Dennis says, or she's covering for her boyfriend and she's lying to the defense
attorney.
That's it. I
love Thank it. You.
That's it. Thank you. Michelle's friend says Michelle always had fires going in the fireplace, even in the summer. She loved to relax in front of a fire in the summer. She probably had the AC on because this lady does not care about the environment. She needs some renewal by Anderson Windows.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And enjoy the climate that she is in that season.
That's maybe the only thing I bought. Maybe.
Maybe that's what rich people do.
Yeah.
They light a fire in the middle of the day in the summer to relax. The prosecution closes their statement with the first act was the killing. The second was the cover-up. And you, the jury, get to write the third act with your verdict.
That's good.
So dramatic. He sounds like Alan Cumming in Traitors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was so, I loved it. Michelle is found guilty.
Oh, boy.
And she's taken away in her fabulous sweater, oozing money.
We'll get it. We'll get to it.
And Kent, who is the lawyer, his trial hasn't started yet. So who knows if we're going to get a third episode out of this. But I don't feel like he's important enough to warrant a third episode. But maybe there's new stuff. Maybe he's way more important than we think and actually did a lot more. And we just haven't gotten there yet.
I think we're just super focused on Michelle this episode. But I think actually he may have coordinated all sorts of parts of this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of questions about Kent.
Mm-hmm. Dennis talks to Jennifer's friends at the end. He asks how the kids are, which is very sweet. And they say Jennifer's still with them and she's probably sitting right there with them drinking a Diet Coke.
That was really sweet.
That's the sort of personal details I'm looking for.
Brand's unhappy being on Dateline.
I think happy. She loved her Diet Coke. She was rich, but she was like the simple things in life.
Yep. I think it was a great ad for Diet Coke because Jennifer seems lovely.
Yeah, she seems great.
It's a shame, though, that they don't have her body.
It's so, I can't.
It's really awful.
Shocking that with all that triangulation, they can't find it.
Yeah, right? I have a lot of questions about that. Okay.
We are raising a Diet Coke to two members of our Patreon, yes. Kim A and Chris J. We raise a Diet Coke to you both.
Oh, K's.
Kim and Chris. No, Kim and Chris with a C.
Oh.
KC.
Apologies.
Actually, Casey was the boy in middle school that convinced me to be a vegetarian.
Oh.
He didn't say a word to me. I don't know if he knew if I existed, but he was a vegetarian. He was really cute, and I became a vegetarian.
Because you thought a boy was cute?
Yeah. And then we watched a video on cows in biology class.
Okay, there we go. That's the one.
And I was done for, and everyone thought it was a fad. Casey went out of my life. Vegetarianism. Remained.
But this KC has come into our lives and we're so grateful
in the
for
form
you.
Of Kim and Chris.
Thank you so much, Kim and Chris, for supporting
thank
our
you,
show.
Thank you. I hope neither of you have car blindness because this episode is a doozy.
Yeah, it is. We got Raptors, we got Tacomas, we got Jeeps.
Instead of a chart for people, like we normally need a chart for people, we needed a car chart.
There we go.
Thank you, Kim and Chris. Thank you, Casey, if you're out there. Are you still a vegetarian? Because I am.
Ooh.
And I'm doing it for you, buddy.
Oh, boy. There we go. Thank you so much, Kim and Chris. Thank you.
You got
Kim
a little anecdote out of your dedication, Kim and Chris.
Yeah. And also a startling revelation. Let's not.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
I think I forgot. I knew it, then unknew it. And now I know
it's
it again.
So
it's bad. It's not
yeah.
great. But I have probably similar things. Anyways, let's move on to B-roll Bonanza.
Okay, so I only have one, but I thought it was the best one ever.
Oh, what?
FOTUS is jogging on the news.
Oh, yeah.
And then the news camera does a close-up of his ankle monitor.
Yes, they do.
As he's jogging.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Because you know he was all pumped to be able to be like, yeah, I'm fit.
And then I'm fit. Like, I'm jogging on the news.
Criminal.
Yeah, like Remy, which we are going to do. Don't get upset that we skip Remy's episode. We're going to do it.
We're going to. Yeah, we're coming back.
We did the original Remy's episode. I think it was called Secret Lives. This was an update episode. We will also cover it at some point.
Don't worry about that. We get tons of footage from police cam. A lot of it. I had some questions about the sea balloon. Who's the sea? The silver balloon that was in Jennifer's house. It was the letter C. It was a balloon. The Mylar balloons.
Hmm. One of the children maybe had a birthday.
But only the C. The C stands alone? What was that?
Their name starts with a C, maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, good mom. Those fancy balloons are fun. Kids like those fancy balloons.
Yeah.
I like those fancy balloons, and I'm an adult. Okay, we talked about Minority Report, water ski footage.
Was there a bear in it, though? No.
No, it was classy.
Rich people don't do bear and balloon. They're too fancy.
No. And then we do have her friend, Ronna Marie, drinking coffee under a patio lattice.
Oh, I love a patio.
Fancy pants downtown Connecticut with all the boutique shops, as Dennis says. I do have a quotable quote from Dennis that you missed.
Oh.
I thought it was pretty good. He says, he's talking to Ronna Marie, her friend, and Dennis says, talking about Jennifer, what are her passions? What does she want to put on her blank piece of paper?
Oh, I love that. Dennis.
Isn't that cute? Like, instead of saying, what's on her resume?
Life is a blank piece of paper and the rest is still unwritten.
Mm-hmm.
I just pulled it completely full circle.
Where are the children?
They are with her mother,
We don't know how old the children were at this time. They don't even give us ages in this, do they?
No, but we know the mother is 88. So someone on Twitter was saying, I hope she has help with those children.
Yes, let's go straight into Fashion Police. Speaking of the mother, she has some sort of crossbody graffiti print bag on.
Mm.
Possible Louis Vuitton did a graffiti thing. I didn't know. I tried to zoom in. I don't know. I'm curious about the lifestyles of the rich. Speaking of which, the parade of Michelle's $500 beige cashmere sweaters in court. Literally every day, new $500 sweater.
Unbelievable.
All cashmere. The shiniest sheet of hair.
Also, her sisters are all wearing cable knit sweaters, too.
All of them. But she chose to wear light colors every day.
That's Connecticut core.
Full Connecticut core and the shiny hair. The shiniest.
It's so smooth.
No flyaways. Not one split end on that hair.
Mm-mm. Unbelievable. Oozes money. Also, her defense attorney has a tie that I think the tie has the Constitution written on it.
No, that brings it down a notch.
I think that was the Constitution. It's something cursive. Also, Connecticut is the Constitution state, and he's a lawyer. So I feel like he has the Constitution. That's just my guess that that's what it was. It's that old-fashioned cursive that looks like the way the Constitution was written.
Gotta be that.
Yeah.
It's gotta be that. Okay. Titles.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The defense is going down the storm drain. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. That's good.
FOTUS finish.
Oh, good.
No, then it was going to be FOTUS finish. FOTUS is finished.
Oh.
But then I remembered that he died.
That he's Greek. Oh, I'm sorry. You could have said FOTUS is Finnish. Sorry. Yeah, I get you.
The dangerous Doulos duo. But I mean Michelle and him.
Yes. Yeah.
Kaneta, cut it out. We get it. They're rich.
There we go. That's a full circle.
Thank you.
Tacomile intent.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer's body.
Didn't I do that title a few weeks ago?
Maybe. Well, then we both did it. I said a FOTUS alibi instead of a bogus alibi, but I don't like that. Mm. I like the other one I did, which was FOTUS operandi. We did it. Did you have Twitter for this?
I do have a few tweets.
Who was funny?
Mrs. Welsh says 2 hours and 10 full rolls of paper towels, and it was still that bad of a cleanup job. Typical dude.
Rich dude.
Melissa pointed out that the nanny, wife, and girlfriend all looked alike.
They really did.
He had a type, Mickey Martini says.
Is it Connecticut?
Yeah, I think it's Connecticut.
Is that just what everyone's hair looks like that? It's just all...
Yeah. Tree Girl 85 says, premeditated AF, bike, black clothing, workers' truck. If only this mediocre douchebag put that much effort into a job, maybe Jennifer would still be alive.
Oof.
Mickey Martini says, I'm betting no Walmart involvement in this episode. These people have Nordstrom money.
Yeah, they're going to Bergdorf's.
Yeah. Alba North tweet says, Jennifer has a whole coven. I dig it.
Oh, yeah.
All of her friends dressed in black.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're fabulous. Also, Alba says, does some rando got a bloody pillow on his couch? Where is that guy with the bloody pillow? Did he get it cleaned?
It was enough blood that they could see it on the grainy surveillance footage. Yeah. Was it the white camping pillow?
Yes, yes. It was one. They said it was one of the pillows missing from the garage. Yes.
Is it possible that he just thought that was the design on the pillow and didn't immediately recognize it as blood?
The random guy? Maybe. But still, you're taking a pillow from a trash can. I know people like to thrift a lot of items. People dumpster dive.
I'm a resale person, and there's a few things that I don't buy. Pillows are one, something I can't wash that goes on the bed is not... Like, it's sort of like a mattress. You're rolling the dice.
Seth says, murder is more work than divorce. Just let's say it louder for the... Look at all this work. Look at all the planning. And you still got caught. Just do the divorce.
Just do the divorce. Stop. Well, I think he was just getting bled dry in the divorce is what was happening. And he didn't have the money. I think he was looking at a total change in lifestyle. I think he probably thought Michelle was going to leave him. I think it was a whole thing.
Yeah. Notice that both of the ladies in his life came from a lot of money.
Yeah, that's interesting. What's his background? We don't get to know about him.
He's just hardworking and charming, apparently.
We know he went to Brown. That's not free.
No, that's true.
Okay.
Elizabeth says Otis, but with an F, which I thought was very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Except they say it like Tuss, not Tiss. It was FOTUS. FOTUS.
FOTUS. Dennis always says things slightly differently, though.
Because he's perfect.
Because he's folksy. Dateline says, what is one passion you always make time for? And Terry said, watching Dateline and reliving with a date with Dateline.
Aww.
And I thought, I don't care if you're kissing up to get your tweet read on the show. It worked.
It worked. Well done.
Good job.
And it made me go, aw.
Stuff My Brain Thinks says, Fotis Doulos to-do list. Lunch, off wife. Shower, dispose of wife's body. Admire self in mirror. Dateline interview.
To-do-los list?
To-do-los list!
Is that right there?
You win. You did it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Check out our Patreon and Supercast if you want more content. And make sure you follow us on social media. That's where we connect with people and have a lot of fun. And Instagram.
And tell a friend about our podcast.
Please tell a friend. Tag a friend on Instagram that you think would like our podcast. And help us spread the word in 2024.
And if you want to meet us in person, come to CrimeCon.
Yes, absolutely.
We'd love to say hi.
Can't wait. Thank you, everybody. And be your own...
Tacoma? No, not a car. Not a car.
Be your
own... There's too many cars.
It really should be a Tacoma.
Be your own Briarcliff.
There we go. Love it.
That's got to be it. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. That's a dinosaur.
Is that a sports
car? I don't know. I don't understand.
I'm going to look it up. All right.
No, it was a...
SUV.
A truck, I think.
Who makes a Raptor?
Ford.
It's a Ford Raptor. I've just never heard of it before. Sorry.
Sounds like it would go... Rawr!
Oh, it's a Ford... Okay. Ford F-150 Raptor. So the Raptor must do something. Must have something.
It raps.
Okay. I don't know why it cracks me up. I think we should do that. And definitely if you do van life, can you please name your van?
Briarcliff.
I need you to name it something that sounds like an estate.
Vannington?
Yeah. Vannington. Kimberby.